Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
Stop it. Actually, no, I'll take all the words of affirmation this week. I love you, Sarah. Thank you. Thank you. And everyone was like, wow, you look so nice today. I was like, I know, I actually washed my hair. And put on eyeliner, which really does make a difference when you're really tired. You'd be surprised. We've been going through a really fun season. This has no spiritual parallels, but we've been through a fun season with our daughter where she just has decided she doesn't like clothing. Some of you guys know this story. She just doesn't want to wear clothes. And it's really like, I'm like, that's awesome. You want to be like David and dance in your underwear. Sometimes it's not even in underwear. Sometimes it's just like full send. And at home. And so we're going through this really fun season right now where we have to like logically explain to her that you have to wear clothing in public. Like it's like they're going to call CPS on us. Like we can afford clothing. And it's this thing, so like we've literally there have been days, you guys, some of you are like, Pastor Simone, are you okay? I'm like, there have been illogical, irrational days where, we're fighting with her to put on clothes. So we've now come to a negotiation, because if you've met Cash Rose, our daughter, she's a master negotiator. So we've now negotiated that she'll wear her underwear and get in the car in her underwear, and then when we get to a location, she'll put clothes on. So like, we're just working. It's a lot of steps, so pray for me. If you see me rolling in a few minutes late, it's because I probably had to get my child dressed and undressed 5 times, depending on how many stops I had to make. So that's the fun season that we're in. Nobody prepares you for that when you're going to have a toddler, you know? They're like, oh, motherhood's great. I posted this thing on my Instagram last night. I was cracking up laughing. It's this woman, and she's in a boat. She's in the front, like, part of the boat, and it says they tell you to enjoy the ride of motherhood, and it's the boat going like this, and then all of a sudden all the water just splashes all over the front of the boat, and she's just completely drowned, and it's like, enjoy the trip. Motherhood's amazing. It's beautiful. I love it. It's wonderful, but that's just to make you laugh this morning. So all right, I'm gonna pray and we're gonna jump in. God, I thank you for this opportunity this morning to get to encourage this family. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for your promises that are just, they're never ending. And I thank you that at any given point we can stop and remember your promises and be encouraged by who you are to us and what you're doing in and through us. And so this morning we just open up our hearts to receive and our ears to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And God said, bless the caffeine. All right. Okay, well, if you've been joining us, you've been online with us, Pastor Vernon has been going through a series again on the promises of God. And I don't know about you, but it's been super encouraging to revisit those promises. We need to be reminded, right? Like I was saying this morning, it's easy to be those individuals that are constantly being the voice of encouragement and the champions in our families and in our workplaces. And I look around and I can see so many of you that I look at, and your pillars in your job places, your pillars in your families, your pillars. But even as a pillar and that strong person that's advocating, like I said, for your family, for your workplaces, you get tired. And there's times, and there's been so many days I walk in here, and I am so thankful. Pastor D, the prayer team, all of you, I look around, and it's like, we all fight private battles, right? We lose it, right? Like, I was just sharing the story of Cash. It's like, you lose it, and then you feel like the worst parent in the world, and it's like, and then you got to go and encourage somebody, praise the Lord, you know? I just ripped my child's head off because she doesn't want to wear clothing, but bless you, you know? But we all have these moments, if we're being real and raw, where we don't feel strong. We don't feel like we have it all together, you know? And we need to be reminded of those promises. And this morning, the promise that I wanted to bring in that God's been encouraging me with is the promise that he always remembers. He always remembers. If you're taking notes, that's the title of my message today, is that he always remembers. And I'm deeply encouraged by the truth that God always remembers. And if we're honest, I think we can all find ourselves in seasons where you're like, hey, God, it's me here. you know? Like when you're playing hide and seek and then the person just never comes to find you? Does that ever happen to you and your kid? Like, I'm so bad. I'll do that. I'm like, yeah, go hide. And then like 5 minutes later, I hear her, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo. She's like, come find me, Mom. And I'm like, I'm using this time to actually get something done for a minute, you know? Such a bad parent. But sometimes it feels like that with God, right? It's like you feel like you're hiding and it's like 1,000 years go by. You're like, God, did you forget where I went? Like, still here. In case you're wondering, still single. I don't know what your testimony is like, you know? You're like, I'm still waiting, still holding out, God. Have you seen online dating recently? I'm married, but I hear a lot of stories. Sarah's got really good ones. One day I got to have her share. She's got really good ones. But back to the message. It's important to remember. I'm probably going to have a few of these moments. It's been a little bit since I've preached, so I'm really excited this morning to get to talk to you guys. But it's important to remember God, He remembers you. He never has moments where he forgets, even though there's times where we feel like that and we feel like we're in that hide-and-seek game and God just forgot to come find us. He never forgets. The phrase God remembered is actually, it appears in the Bible numerous times. And the language, I want to sound really smart this morning and open up like a Bible scholar. No, I'm kidding. And go and talk about the language that's actually used when it says God remembers in the Bible. And it's actually this phrase, it's referred to as an anthropomorphism, which means that God is speaking as if he was a man. And he's relating as if he was a man. But the truth is, so when they say God remembers, our mind's like, well, you know, we think remembering means that you forgot. But that's not what it's saying. He's speaking as if he's a man, but the truth is that God never forgets anything. He never forgets anything. He sees everything. And the dictionary defines remember as to bring to mind or think of again or to retain in the memory, which comes from the Latin rememori, which combines re and memory, to be mindful of. It doesn't necessarily imply that one has forgotten the thing one is mindful of, but rather that is on one's mind. So this is what I'm giving you the context of when you see God remembers or God remembered in the word, it's meaning that it means for God to have it on God's mind. And in the Old Testament examples, it uses this Hebrew word zakar, which means to remember, but the definition actually goes deeper and it means to bring someone to mind and then act on someone's behalf. This is important. So it's not just like God's, when we say this, it can sound very like, oh, that's really nice, God remembers. But I'm still here, you know? Like, still in the closet over here, God, waiting for you to come find me, you know? Or still hiding underneath the table. Here I am, sending out an SOS. It's not just a cute saying that God remembers. It's important to understand that what the Bible's actually saying when it says he remembers is that you're on his mind and he's acting on your behalf. You're on his mind and he's acting on your behalf. So it's just as much direct action as it is a mental exercise. So when scripture says that the Lord remembers something, it means that he's acting in according to his covenant promises or intervening to rescue those who are suffering or downcast. If we look in the Bible, there's a few references. And the first one I want to bring this morning is from Genesis 8:1. I don't know if you guys have this or not, but it says we're told that God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind that caused the flood waters to recede. I think this is actually one of the first references where it says that God remembered. And we're going through the Bible in a year on Wednesday nights. If you guys haven't been out, come out and join us. It's really fun. We get into groups and group discussions. But it's been really interesting to go through the Old Testament and just read the Bible. And there's stuff that's popping out to all of us that we're talking about that we never even realized was in the Bible. You know, and I think this is an instance with Noah where we read the story. We know God told Noah, build an ark, flooded the earth, Noah was in the boat, and then the waters receded. But if you really stop and you think about it, you have Noah. This is where we find this reference where it says God remembered, but God floods the earth, right? Noah's faithful. He's been faithful to God. And then he goes into the ark, earth is flooded, and then he's just in a boat on water with no end in sight. Doesn't that sound a lot like life? It's like, okay, did it, God? Okay, and now I'm on this ship and I have no idea where I'm going and I feel like I'm out in the middle of the ocean and there's no land and I don't know when we're going to get there, but I have this promise from you that you're gonna come through, that we're gonna see land again. There's gonna be hope. And this is where we find this promise where it says God remembered. Are you guys cold? It's a little chilly in here? Okay. Shawnee, will you turn that down a little bit or turn it up? I'm like looking around and I'm seeing you guys like, maybe God will remember and take action to turn the air conditioner off. But I can't imagine what Noah had been feeling after drifting on the endless world sea for almost a year. That's how long it was. It was like 100 and, we'll get down to it here, 155 days. Can you imagine? Some of you guys can't even last 2 days with your family. Noah's not only with all of his family and in-laws, he's with animals. Like, they're all on a boat together, just in the middle of the ocean. It's no wonder that Noah eventually planted a vineyard and we find him drunk after the flood. I mean, I'm not advocating for that. Please do not twist my words. But, you know, it's like, I understand the moral failure, you know? Like, we're all human. If you go back and you read it, like, again, don't twist my words. I'm not advocating for it. But there's like, the dude spent 155 days in the ocean with a bunch of animals. And you can, like, after a week, they're probably like, okay, this is cool. You know, you like step out in faith, you follow God. And then it's like, okay, God's surely going to come through because our timetable looks a lot different than God's, right? And it's like, 6 months go by. Okay, all right, he's not coming through yet. It's been a year. This would really be a good time for you to come find us. We're here on this boat. It's getting a little cramped. Can you imagine drifting in a large ship, not just overnight, but month by month, year by year, with nothing in sight? During those months, I don't care, faith or no faith, Noah must have begun to wonder whether God had forgotten him. I would have. Hey, God, do you remember me here? We're here. You know, if you look at it from Noah's point of view, the treasure in this is that even though Noah felt himself to be probably abandoned by God during this time, the wonderful thing is that God acted again. It wasn't just that God had him in mind. It's that he acted again. He spoke again. And I can only imagine like the sigh of relief when that dove came back with the branch, that there was land. There was hope. And the point at which this story communicates hope, if you think you've been abandoned by God, the hope is not in the reasoning that God's aware of all things, but the hope is in knowing that God will act again. The hope is in knowing that he'll act again. And in the meantime, our job is to go on in faithful obedience to what he's already shown us, however long that may be. And there's a moment, it said at the end of 155 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And I read this commentary, I wanted to bring it in. I thought it was so good. This scholar, he said, I suspect that as Moses, the author of Genesis, wrote these words, he was thinking of the creation story of Genesis 1 and picturing this later work of God as a new creation. At the very beginning of Genesis, we're told that the spirit, the Hebrew word is ruach, the God of God, was hovering over the waters. This is the word used in Genesis 8:1, although it's translated wind rather than spirit. And the fact plus the obvious similarity in the scenes inevitably takes our minds back to the beginning. As a result of the flood, the earth had returned to a form much like that described in Genesis 1. It was dark due to the storm clouds that brought the rain. It was covered with water. There was no life, except in this case, a tiny cargo encompassed in the ark. But then the Spirit of God, the divine wind, began to blow across the land. The clouds began to dissipate. The sun appeared, and eventually the grass, plants, and trees began to renew themselves. And the animals and people aboard the ark were sent forth into the new world before them. He said, I'm not sure that this is what Moses had in mind, but if it is a way of saying that when God remembers, he often does it with a new burst of power. During the darkness, you may have felt quite dead, but suddenly the life of God is there again, and you suddenly begin to move forward. And that's what happens. It feels like dead, suddenly. It would be nice if we had like a warm-up, you know? You're just like, okay, it's coming, but it's like dead, okay, there's the breakthrough, you know? And it's just like you just have to hold on when it looks dead, because when God remembers you, change becomes inevitable. When God remembers you, impossibility becomes possible. When God remembers you, those that have been mocking you will bow before you. When God remembers you, your tears will be turned to joy. When God remembers you, the unimaginable, unexpected, uncommon miracles will happen. In Deuteronomy 32:10, I love this passage. Moses is describing how God finds his people in a desert land. And it says this, that he found him in a desert land in the howling wasteland of wilderness. He kept circling him and he took care of him and protected him as the apple of his eye. I love this because it's saying that he surrounded them with great protection and attentively cared for them. And the type of care, he guarded them as the pupil of his eye. You know, the pupil represents the most sensitive part of your human body. So in essence, Moses is saying that God, he provided instant help to them because they were so precious as eyes are to human, and or as eyes are to a human. Thank you. And that's how God sees us, like the pupil of his eye. We're that precious to him. And I just wanted to just hammer it down this morning that maybe you felt overlooked. Maybe you felt forgotten. Maybe you've been through a season where it's been that dark, like, God, I don't see the breakthrough. I want you to remember this morning that God remembers you and that with him, nothing's wasted. No tear is wasted. No season is wasted. No time is wasted. The enemy loves to lie to us and tell us, oh, you've lost everything. You've lost all this time. Listen, nothing's wasted with God. There's another reference where it says that God remembers, and it's in Genesis 30:22, and there's a lot more, but I wanted to transition here where it says that we're told God remembered Rachel. If you guys remember Rachel or know who Rachel is, she was Jacob's wife, and Rachel was barren. And there's a lot of the time where we see this phrase, God remembers, is in barren seasons. A lot of the passages that reference him remembering are in relation to barrenness. And we see this in Genesis 30:22, that God remembered Rachel and enabled her to conceive. And he's obviously referring to physical barrenness, but as I was studying, I began to really feel God wanting to encourage us that I don't know if I've ever really heard anybody talk about that we can, we've heard we go through desert seasons, we go through, you know, hard times, but we as people go through barren seasons. And not just physical barrenness, some people do, and it's terribly hard. I know, Pastor D, you went through barren season, and you've preached on that, and it's, there's, I don't think there's words that can necessarily make that season any better, right? It's just, it's something you go through, and it sucks. But we as people, we can find ourselves going through spiritual barrenness, which looks like a season that we didn't plan for, or a season that doesn't look like how we thought it would, or a season that no matter what we're doing, it just seems like there's no fruit. Have you ever been there? That's what happens when you find yourself in a barren season. It feels like a season where you're not accomplishing anything or giving birth to anything or producing anything. And it's frustrating because there's motion, there's activity, but there's no fruit. And it feels like that, like there's no fruit. And no matter how big our faith is or how great our calling is, we can all find ourselves in a barren season. And experiencing these seasons of barrenness, it can be in our relationships or our personal life, our businesses, our workplace, or our spiritual life. And I want you to know this morning, I want to say this, that fruitfulness is your portion. The enemy will lie to you and say, this is all there is. Stop hoping, stop expecting, stop dreaming. But you know what the truth is? Genesis 1:28 said, God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. We know that he was referring obviously to having children and being fruitful, but as people, fruitfulness is our portion. And there are seasons where the leaves fall off the trees and everything looks dead, but it doesn't mean that the DNA of that tree stops producing. It just means it's a season. And we go through these times. We go through these seasons of longing and waiting for these promises that God's given us. And we can feel like we're banging our head against the wall. I've been there. And it, like, you can be like Sarah and go and try and manufacture it and then look at what happens. You still have problems, Janet. Exactly. You got 99 problems. And more. It just feels like there's nothing you can physically do in that time to make it better. And the truth is that there's not. It's a season of holding on to faith, of continuing to do what God's told you to do, like Noah on the ark in the middle of the ocean. If he had jumped off that ship and said, I'm just going to swim to land, he would have died. And sometimes it feels like that. I'm done. I'm jumping off the ship. I'm just going to go and find something new. And it's like, well, you're going to drown. Because you're still in the middle of an ocean and there's no land. Stay on the ship until the ship finds land. And that's life. You know, like I said, there's times where you feel like you're banging your head against the wall, but I want you to remember that God remembers you. You are on his mind and he will take action on your behalf. And that fruitfulness is your inheritance. If you've been in that season, you need to just remind yourself every day, fruitfulness is my inheritance. Maybe right now my tree is not bearing fruit. Maybe right now this is a season where I'm just tilling the land or I'm getting ready, but I'm believing that fruitfulness is my inheritance. You know, God will use a barren season in your life to increase your capacity for more in the next season. Every season matters, and he's always doing something. And it's interesting, if you go and you look at the cases of these barren women in the Bible, there's things that we see in each of their stories. Number one, they were important, prominent, and often godly women. They were faithful. They were prominent. They were well known, which is even more embarrassing to be well known. And then you have a season where, can you imagine? Oh, well, Hannah's not having babies. Oh, like, you know, you're well known. And then it just looks like you have nothing. And all these other people who probably shouldn't be out there having babies are having babies. Let's just be real. Like, that's probably what they're thinking. And they can't. Listen, I'm just saying what people think, right? And it's like, these are probably real thoughts that are happening in their mind. They're prominent women, which means people know them. They know their stories. They're talking about them. We saw that in Hannah's story. If you don't know Hannah's story, she was mocked. There was this just woman that is constantly just mocking her. And she stayed in faith. I believe, you know what? God, you're going to come through. So they were important. They were prominent. Secondly, they had to wait a long time for a child before God enabled them to conceive. So there was this waiting process. And thirdly, and this is the point I really wanted to bring home in this, is that when the God-given child came, it was always somebody prominent. When the promised child came, they were always somebody prominent. Which, there's a spiritual principle here for those of us that are waiting on God to do something that only he can do, that when he does something special after a long time of fulfillment, right? We've been waiting this long time of fulfillment. It always is something prominent. So we should get excited. If we're in a barren season, you know what? God has something prominent. He has something so much better, so much bigger than I can even imagine on the horizon. If we go through and we look, Sarah and Abraham, a story we're familiar with. Promise comes. Who's the promise? Isaac, who becomes the father of the Jewish race and faith. Rebecca and Isaac couldn't have children because Rebecca was barren. And then she has 20 years of infertility before God finally enables her to give birth, and she gives birth to twins, Jacob and Esau. Then you have Rachel and Jacob. Jacob ended up marrying Rachel, and Rachel's sister Leah gives birth to 6 sons and a daughter. How'd you like to be in that situation? And it caused a lot of friction in the marriage. Yet when the Lord finally opened Rachel's womb, she gives birth to Joseph. We know the story of Joseph. If you don't, Joseph was, you know, he was one of the most important of the 12 sons of Jacob, and he was a type of Christ. The story of Joseph, Joseph in the coat of many colors, you know, from the pit to the palace, prominent. And the list goes on and on. You know, Elizabeth and Zacharias. Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. We see over and over again these women who were barren and who waited a long time for these promises to be fulfilled. We see that when they were finally fulfilled, that they were, it was prominent. It was important. You know, the barren season can feel, well, it can feel bare. You feel empty. You feel hidden. You feel frustrated. You feel illogical. You feel irrational. You feel cold. You feel dead. I want to encourage you this morning that dormant dreams are not dead dreams. Dormant dreams are not dead dreams. When something is dormant, it just means that it's at rest. Something that's dormant might not be active, but it has the ability to be active at a later time. Just because something has gone dormant doesn't mean it's dead. And we shouldn't give up hope. We shouldn't cast off our confidence. You know, that's really the battle. When you're going through a season of that looks empty or looks barren, the battle is A, to become bitter. To become bitter. And we can see that through the word where there's people who became bitter. And bitterness leads to anger. And then you just become trapped in this cycle. And there's a war over your heart to keep your heart soft. I'm going to give you a key in a minute, but the first battle is to become bitter. And there's another battle too, which is to feel like you're behind, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it's interesting, I added this in late Anastasia, so you won't have the scripture in there, but in Isaiah 54, 1-3, there's an instruction from God. He says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who've never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, because that's exactly what I want to do when I'm in a barren season." Do you ever feel like God tells you to do things and you're like, are you living in a different universe than I am, God? He's like, yeah, actually I am. You're like, oh yeah, that's right. You are. But he tells them, he says, sing, O barren woman. You've never bore a child. He says, burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. And then he says, enlarge the place of your tent, meaning get ready, because it's coming. He says, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. And he's giving them a promise here, but he's also giving them a key. When you're in a barren season, what does he say? Sing, shout, praise. Why? Because the trap is real. To get into that pit of bitterness, to get into that pit of comparison, to find yourself in a place where you fling off your confidence. I'm sure there was days Noah had flung off his confidence, like, we're just gonna die in the ship. It's probably what's gonna happen here. God's not, he forgot all about us. That is the fight. And he gives us a key here, worship. And it sounds insignificant, like, and it's the last thing you wanna do when you're frustrated and you're irritated. It's to sing to God and say thank you. No, I don't want to say thank you. Let's be honest. You know, we all come in here and we're like, yes, God, thank you. Life sucks right now, but thank you. You know, it's like the last thing you want to do. But it's the thing you need to do. Why? Because it's going to keep your heart soft. And sometimes you're saying thank you through tears of misunderstanding and moments where you're like, I don't see the land in sight. I don't see the end in sight. But God, I'm going to worship you. Whether I'm in the middle of this ocean and I don't see land or not, I'm going to worship you. Even if it looks like my kids are half crazy and they're never going to know you, I'm going to worship you. Even if it looks like everything in my life has died, I'm going to worship you, because it's not for anybody else, it's for me. It's for me. It's for me and you, God. It's to keep this right. It's like when you hate your spouse and you know you need to go on a date. You know? I don't hate you, honey. I really don't. Just throwing that out there. I don't. But you know, you're just like, all pissed off and you're like washing the dishes so aggressively, you know? And you're like doing the things you know you need to do because you need to do them. But your heart's just like, it's wrong, you know? We all can be there. And then you have a moment where you're just like, okay, you know, you hug it out, you know? You come together. You spend some time together. God's saying, I'm not telling you to sing as if I'm ignoring the reality of what you're facing. I'm telling you to sing because it's what's gonna bring the breakthrough. I'm telling you to sing because worship is what brings breakthrough. And it's a key that we can't let die in the midst of the pain of the barren season. You worship. The Bible says, your worship brings breakthrough. They sent out the worshipers when they walked around the walls of Jericho. And what happened? Eventually the walls came down. Worship is the key to breaking through barrenness. And it's the key to getting through it without becoming bitter and hard and just and angry. There's a song, and I'm coming down to the end here, but there's a song that I love. It's by Mercy Culture, and it's just a prophetic song. And it's so funny because I actually have had people ask me if I wrote it, and I'm like, no, I didn't write it, but maybe that's why I love it so much, because it's the same spirit. But I love this worship leader, but she sings, "All I need is a memory of a victory, like a stone in a sling, every time that you fought for me. All I need is a memory of a victory." You know, sometimes like that's all you need is a memory of a victory. God, you remember me. You remember me. What am I saying? You're mindful of me and you're gonna act on my behalf. All I need is a memory of a victory. Like David with that stone and a sling. Every time you have fought for me. There's times when we're in these barren seasons where you feel behind. Why? Because you see others, like Rachel watching Leah, 6 kids and more on the way, and just feeling behind. You feel behind. The comparison trap is real. In Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, it says this: "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." There's this dialogue. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the Chosen series. It's the Bible series, but there's this dialogue in there between Philip and Matthew. When Matthew asks Philip for some scripture passages to memorize, and I wanted to bring this in because it's so true. We can find ourselves feeling behind or feeling like we're missing out. Philip says a passage to memorize, and Matthew says, "Anything that would get me started to make up for lost time." Philip says, "No, Matthew, you didn't lose any time. It just got rearranged. You're gaining it all back now." Yeah. And I love that because, and for me, it's so reassuring and encouraging, because there's days where it just feels like time is passing by. Like you go on social media, which is the worst thing when you're in a barren season, and you see like somebody is like making $5 million in their business and you're just trying to get your child to wear underwear, you know? You know how much time I'm gonna have to catch up on? You know, you just give up. You're like, I just quit. I'm just gonna quit and not ever try to do anything great. And it's like, look, we're all in different seasons of life. It doesn't mean that you've lost time. It just means that time got a little rearranged. But in a moment, you can gain everything back. And we see that. In a moment, God doesn't measure time like we measure time. And I'm gonna lose my thing here, because apparently I need to quit. That's what it's telling me. I'm just kidding. God doesn't measure time the way that we do. And there's times where, like I said, you feel like, oh man, I don't know how I'm gonna catch up, you know? How am I gonna catch up? You don't need to worry about catching up. You just need to worry about being faithful where God has you in the season that you're in, and trust that when the next opportunity comes, you don't even know what God can do in that next opportunity. We just have to be faithful where we're at and with the next step, where we're at and with the next step. The truth is, we haven't lost time. We're not behind. We're just on a different time schedule in life right now. But we'll gain it all back when the time is right to do so. And more. Because that's what he says, over and above, exceedingly and above what we could ever ask or think. And it's a different perspective to look at it like, you know what? I'm just rearranged right now. Some of you just need to say that. I'm not lost. I'm just rearranged. God's going to work it all out. It's just a little bit of a slower season right now. But it does something when you can look at it as if you've been divinely rearranged according to a divine plan. And that there will be a season where God will make up for all of that. In Psalm 1 through 3, and I'm getting ready to lay on the plane. If you want to go grab Sarah. In Psalm 1 through 3, it says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. And there's one more commentary I wanted to bring in. It's from the Enduring Word Bible Commentary. They note in this verse that fruit comes naturally from this tree. Psalm 1 through 3, it says, I'll say it again. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. It says the fruit comes naturally from this tree because it's planted by the rivers of water. It is abiding in a life source. Important, because we can read that and go, well, my tree has no fruit on it right now. That's great. I must not be planted by the river. I'm in the desert. You know what trees bloom in the desert? None. All I see are mirages. They look like it's going to happen. It's not. I'm just kidding. No, it says fruit, this is important, also has a season. Some get discouraged when they begin to walk as righteous men and fruit's not immediately evident. They need to wait until they bring forth fruit in its season. He says, there are no barren trees in God's orchard, and yet they may have their fits. This is important. There are no barren trees in God's orchard, yet they may have their fits of barrenness as an apple tree sometimes hath. But, this line right here, but they will re-flourish with advantage. They will re-flourish with advantage. That's what happens after we go through barren season. We re-flourish with advantage. Why? Because God put tools in us through that season. He equipped us through that season. He strengthened our roots through that season. He's always doing something, even when it looks like nothing is happening on the surface. I want you to stand. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I wanted to make some declarations over you this morning. I hope you guys were encouraged by this because I preached to myself today. The barren season will eventually come to an end. And sometimes, like I said, most of the time, it's suddenly. And then you're like, oh man, this is too much. It's funny how we can go from it's not enough to it's too much. It's like we're never satisfied. No, but that's how it often happens. It's God works in suddenlies. He works in suddenlies. And this morning, Cassie, if you'll just hit those lights for a minute. I know I just saw her walking back there. I just want to take a minute. If you've been in that, I just want every eye closed. Maybe you're watching online and you've never accepted Jesus. Listen, God remembered you by sending his son to die for you. He didn't have to do that. Jesus could have stayed in heaven, had everything. He decided to come down so that he could make a way for us. And this morning, if you've never received Jesus, it's not this religious ritual. It's just a relationship. And it's just a decision that you make in your heart between you and him. And if you want to do that this morning, just between you and him, just tell him, Jesus, I need you. I surrender my life to you this morning. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Do something new in me. I believe you died for me to give me a hope and a future. Maybe you've said that for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time and you're saying it again, you're recommitting. And I just want to encourage you this morning that even in those barren seasons, that life with Jesus is so, it's so much better. It's so much better. This morning, if you've been in that, you've been in a barren season, or you've just felt like, man, God, it's been rough. It's been rough. If that's you this morning, I just want you to just, you put out your hands, lift your hands, whatever you want to do. Maybe it's been work, it's been family, it's been promises that you've been waiting on that, again, like you feel like Noah out there in the middle of the ocean, you don't see the end in sight. I want to release these prophetic declarations over you this morning. The first one is this: the living water of God will flow into you, heal you. Your life, your spouse, your children shall be fruitful vines that bear fruit in season and out of season. I declare this morning that God is turning every financial, career, business, mental, and spiritual barrenness or wilderness situation into pools of increase, progress, and prosperity. I declare this morning that God is sending down the rain of his favor on every barren, dry land, and that there will be divine provision to eat, to live, and to be established according to Deuteronomy 11:11-15. I declare this morning that God goes before you and is leveling every mountain of stagnation. Come on, you just put your faith on this morning, that he's leveling every mountain of stagnation that has been limiting your progress in life, that your businesses and your careers that have been stagnant are going to break forth and expand in Jesus' name. I declare this morning that God is putting an end to working hard and having little or nothing to show for it. I declare fruitfulness is our portion, is your portion this morning. In Jesus' name, I declare that all fruitless efforts are over in your life, in our lives, in our family, in our church, because Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of barrenness. According to Galatians 3:13, and that whoever Jesus sets free is free indeed from all forms of barrenness. And that, like he said on the cross, that he declared that it is finished. And so this morning, Lord, I just declare that. Maybe we don't see the end yet, but I declare, Lord, that those barren seasons that we've been through are over, God. We thank you. We thank you. We sing. We lift our song to you. We lift our voice to you. Come on, just begin to lift your own thanksgiving to him, your own gratitude to him this morning. Lord, we sing like you commanded the barren woman in Isaiah to sing, to lift up her worship to you, even when it doesn't make sense, God, even when we don't feel like it, Lord. This morning, we lift up our gratitude to you. We declare breakthrough in Jesus' name, even if we don't see it yet, even if it hasn't manifested yet. God, I thank you that it will and that it shall. And we declare right now that the dry season is over. God, that we're coming into greater expansion, greater fruit, greater things than we ever could have imagined, Lord. We thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Come on, just tell him, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. You've never abandoned me. Thank you that you always remember me. You always remember me. You always remember me. That you act on my behalf. That you are faithful in every season. In Jesus' name. Come on, can we just give him one more shout this morning? Thank you, Lord. I want to let you know the prayer team will be here if you need prayer this morning. They're going to be down here. I encourage you, if you need prayer for something specific, come down and get prayer. Or even, Sarah, you just want to continue to sing for a minute. You just want to worship. Other than that, we'll see you guys on Wednesday night.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.